I've been really encouraged today in many ways. Certainly enjoyed and appreciated those that led us in the first assembly and the various songs and prayer and in the readings that we had. Sometimes, as we've always talked about, putting something together certainly helps us immensely. So it's probably been more of a benefit to me maybe than you, but I hope you noticed the combination of songs and readings and looked at the grace of God maybe a little differently today. So thank you so much for being here. Such an encouragement. I want to thank Lori and Lily for being with us today and for Dan and Melanie. And we want to tell you two that we really appreciate your daughter very much. She's been a tremendous encouragement for us here. And fits right in. So I don't know if that speaks good of her or how you want to look at it, because anybody fits in with us. But anyway, we really appreciate her so much. And Melena is here today, despite the fact that her grandmother and great-grandmother aren't here. So she chose to go ahead and bring her parents, and so we're glad that she's here. She is, too, such a blessing for us, and we are glad that she's here, as well as everyone else. Grace. Genesis 6:8 said, Noah found grace in the sight of God. When we think of grace, many things might come to our mind. We might think of someone as being graceful. And typically, when we think of that word, it's like something that's pleasing or attractive or something along that line. But in reality, when we think of the word of God, we tend to understand a totally different meaning of the word. It's a word that we sometimes put this meaning to it. It's unmerited favor. Now, to some, that might be, well, I don't quite understand that. But all we're saying is in today's language, it would be more like unearned. It's something unearned that is given to us. We did nothing to receive it. It was just offered, and there it was. Now, with everything like that, though, there's always something to it. We end up having to do something maybe to receive that. But when we think about how God extended His grace toward mankind, we've learned that He did that from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, when we look at this and we think about it, since grace is something we don't deserve or earn, and we think of the difference between it and mercy, and I bring this up frequently because it's helped me to remember this about the difference between the two. Grace is when we get something we don't deserve. Mercy is when we don't get what we do deserve, which might be punishment in that case. So God extends both of those. If you read the New Testament, you see frequently when they are writing to someone, Paul used this a lot, he would say, grace be extended to you. The grace of God be extended to you. The grace of God be to you. And things like that so that they would truly understand. But when we look at it, God's grace started the human race. Now, we could put His love in there, certainly. But no one earned that. No one said, oh, I want to be created. But He did that. He created Adam. We find in Genesis 1:26 that He made man in His own image. That's how much He cared about man. That there is a part of us that's made in the image of God, whether we wanted that or not. Whether we deserved that, which we did not, we still received it for free. No charge. No strings attached. You got life. You know, it's one of those where you don't question God. You don't turn to God and say, why? And we have that certainly in Romans 11, people doing that. And in chapter 2, we find then that the woman was created from the rib of man. And then we find in chapter 3, verse 19, from dust that we came and dust we shall return. So basically, if you look at our physical being, it's made from the things that God created. All the things that make up my body are found in His creation. So He did that freely. He didn't say, is there some way you can earn this? Is there some way, Adam, you can do something about this? Absolutely not. It's in their image, in their likeness, blessed by God. Adam and Eve became one flesh. Just because of the grace of God. You see, Adam was taken out of that ground from the dust. Did God have to do that? Absolutely not. God's grace brought me into existence and it keeps me in existence. If you look at Acts chapter 17, Paul, in preaching that beautiful lesson, and I've used this for several reasons, this lesson, because, not this lesson, but what Paul preached. And he would talk to them and he would discuss this issue with them about who God really was. And he said to them, I understand you're a very religious people, religious in the sense that they followed after gods. but not religious in the right way. And so he said, I want to declare this one God to you. The one God that does not, he said, need to be worshipped with man's hands in verse 25 as though he needed anything. You see, it's due to God's grace that I'm here. He doesn't need it from me. He needs absolutely nothing from me. He doesn't need me at all. It's because of His grace that I exist. Certainly His love as well. Since He gives all life, breath, and all things, He's made from one blood every nation of men dwell on the face of the earth. He has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their hands. Then He goes on down to verse 28, just like your poets have said, we are also His offspring. His grace. He made it, everything in it, life, breath, all things, made one blood from every nation. In Him we live and move and have our very being. It's not because of me. I cannot, as my dad said, lift myself up by my own bootstraps. I cannot make myself. I can do nothing, even in procreation or where we bring others into the world. We are His offspring. It goes all the way back to God. And this is for Debbie. I didn't know this today. But this was brought up on Wednesday night, and Gary read part of this from 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 33. You see, when we talk about grace, there's this idea in our minds that, well, if God extends His grace, why aren't things always great for me? Why aren't things always good? Well, they are. They are. But it doesn't exempt me from the problems of life. It doesn't exempt me from the troubles of life. Sometimes just wanting to follow God causes problems. It shouldn't. People should respect me. I don't do anything. I don't steal what they have. I won't lie to them. They should respect that. But no. No. They don't like light shining on them. And if I'm reflecting anything from Christ, I should be reflecting that. So as we look at this in 2 Corinthians, we find that Paul had gone through some horrifying things because he was a faithful servant of God. He said, stripes above measure, prisons more frequently, in death often. For the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1 because by law they could only give 39. Well, they could give 40, but they never did it because they were concerned they might miscount it. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in colds and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And he goes into the second chapter and he talks about 14 years ago there was a man who was received up into paradise and he heard things that were unspeakable. And then he goes, even with that said, and most believe this was when he was stoned and he actually left life for a moment, that God allowed him to see some things. Even with that said, to keep me from being exalted above measure, Satan gave him a thorn in the flesh. That Satan, and it was something that bothered him tremendously, whatever it was. It bothered him so much, just like we prayed for Debbie today. He prayed 3 times fervently, directly, and asked, please, please, please remove this from me. It's more than I can bear. And the answer came, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So when Debbie's going through some things, or some of us are going through some things, remember this. His grace is sufficient. It's hard for us to understand. His strength is made stronger in weakness. Because what do we do when we have problems? We turn to Him. We depend more on Him. We rely more on Him. We think more about Him. We want to be closer to Him. You see, whether it's financial problems or health problems, people problems, work problems, and on and on and on. Paul had them. Paul had financial problems. There was times he didn't have very much. He had health problems. he didn't always have the things he needed to take care of himself. He had people problems. People hated him because he was preaching the gospel. And he had work problems because the work he was in was the work of the Lord. And as a result, it brought problems he never dreamed of. He'd suffered much at the hands of others. With it all said, he had concerns for his fellow brethren. He knew better how to deal with them. He knew better how to talk to them about their situations. He knew better how to console them and help them get through it. And as a result of that, that helped him. He had an experience unlike others. Now, there are others that had been able to see some visions concerning the throne of God. But he said that he actually got to hear some unspeakable things. He'd been caught up into paradise, it seems, some 14 years earlier. He had a thorn in the flesh, whether it's a physical problem, an ailment, or bad treatment by others, or whatever this was. He prayed three times that it might be removed. And the answer again, my grace is sufficient to you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. But now about our spiritual life. Jesus Christ brought grace and truth, according to John 1:17, after He, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And His glory was beheld as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Think about this for a moment. Full. Complete. We don't need anything else. That's who we need. Full of it. He came to this earth because He loved us so much. He'd given us physical life. We find He was the Creator. He had put us here. He loved us. And He became flesh just like us. Almighty God. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. In Titus 2, starting with verse 11. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age or world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Why? That He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people. Can we ever fully realize what He did? Can we ever fully grasp what He did for us? Can we fully understand this unearned favor that He extends to us in giving up His life for ours, in redeeming us, buying us out with His precious blood? In the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. But not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Did you notice in the reading that Gary read in Romans 5? That when people say to you that we inherit Adam's sin, that that's no way that can work with Romans 5. Romans 5 clearly says we reap some things because of his sin. But if that were true, the opposite side of that he talks about is Jesus Christ, who brought grace to everyone. So if you believed that all were born in sin, you would also have to equally believe that by the grace of God all will be saved, because they're the opposites of each other. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about all of us, when we reach a certain age, have come into sin. And it is by the grace of Jesus Christ, by this one man who came to the world, made it possible for us to get our forgiveness forever. But do you know, there is something to that. It's not just his grace. Grace through faith. If I do not have that conscious belief, if it does not, as Roger talked about, enter my mind, and we talked about in the class this morning, if it will not grasp, get there and start growing, I won't make it. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, made us accepted in the blood. In Him we have redemption, how? Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. Titus 3, 4 through 7. This to me just sums it all up. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. In other words, not anything that I had done to this point, not anything, of course I didn't live prior, but if I had have, not anything that I would have done, not any work of righteousness, no matter how well I kept the law, no matter what I did, no matter how much I said I loved God, no matter how much I did for my fellow man, not one of those would save me. In and of itself. In and of itself. But according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace. What was His grace? The giving of His Son. That's what justifies us. The giving of that blood, that sacrifice. We should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's what did it. And He would say to the churches in Galatia, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. Where would you go? What possibly could you find out there? What would make you want to do anything other than what the New Testament says? Which is not another, but there be some who trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. This one Gary read as well. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What he's talking about, are you going to continue living in sin? Certainly as a Christian, we have our problems. We pray to God for forgiveness. We need His help. We need His grace constantly. But are we going to continue in sin? Certainly not. How are we dead to sin, live any longer in it? Or you not know as many of us were baptized into... Or do you not know as many of us were baptized into Christ? Were baptized into His death? Don't you realize the seriousness of what you did? Don't you understand that when you were immersed in water for the remission of your sins, that you accepted the grace of God? That you understood that it wasn't because you were willing to submit to that. It's because of His grace that He said, if you'll do that, I'll remove it. Believe me. Have faith in what I tell you. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead. By the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. He said, you've got a new life. Don't go back to sin. Understand that when you were immersed in water and your sins were forgiven, live that life. Understand and know that. Accept His grace and do what He says. You see, the Word was and is God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among humans as flesh. He extended the grace of God by dying on the cross. God's grace provided the Word that tells us these things. We have no excuse. We can read them. The gift is free to all that will accept in faith. And that's the only way it's free. True faith understands the need to obey Christ's command to get this gift. And grace is only extended to those who are baptized into His death and do not continue to live in sin. We read all those scriptures. It's exactly what it says, not what I'm saying. Once in His grace, we need to be careful not to fall from grace. In Galatians 5:4, He said that if they went back to that old law, those Jews, they are fallen from grace. And the only way you can fall from grace is to have been in the grace of God. As my dad used to put it, you can't fall off the roof if you're not on it. You have to have been in His grace before you can fall from it, but you can fall from it. You see, God's grace brings eternal life. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many. Grace having spread through the many. How did grace spread? What we talked about in class this morning. As the Word spread, as the Word was accepted, as the Word was obeyed, grace spread. And when it did, may cause thanksgiving to abound in the glory of God, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, you know who's writing this? Paul. Our light affliction, we just read the list of the things that he went through. He said, that's light. That's light. It could be a lot worse. You see, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, if my physical body is destroyed, dies, goes away, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very thing is God, who gave us a spirit, a guarantee. I have the Holy Spirit that wrote me a guarantee. He said, Abe, you do what I tell you. You accept the grace of God. I guarantee that you'll have a new body, a new life, eternal in the heavens. So when you're going through all these things in life, you just realize that. You keep that in the back of your mind that, what can man do to me? So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. And he's only talking about the fact that we get that permanently. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Not one of us in the room have seen that. Not one of us in the room have been there. But we believe it because we see all the things that God has done, and we do walk by faith and not by sight. You see, just like Christ was raised from the dead, we too will be raised. This will happen again because of God's grace, not because of my deserving it. I don't know, in my prayer so many times, I just ask at the end of it, please extend your grace to me once more when I die or when your son comes back. I need it. You see, our outward man, the physical, is perishing. But the inward man, the spirit, is being renewed day by day. There's a part of me being built up every day, preparing. A part of me that's getting stronger and stronger. And I want to tell you folks something. I would never have believed that approaching the age I am, 39, okay, I'll be 60 pretty soon. Approaching that, I would never have believed that this body would not be as strong as it was some years ago. You just never think that way. You think, I can do it. You think, it's no problem. And then you run around with the grandkids for about 5 minutes and you're huffing and puffing and you go, yeah, there's a problem. The outward man's perishing. Mine's going away. From the day we're born, as the song says, we start to die. That's just fact. But it's such a beautiful fact because through the grace of God, I have something prepared for me. You see, this light affliction, that's Paul's suffering, is but for a moment. But it works an eternal weight of glory. I'll be glorified and be with God forever. And I have that confidence that he talks about in 1 John 2, 28 and 29. You see, the things seen are temporary, but the things not seen are eternal. We have an earthly body. It's going to decay. But we have another one. Of another body, another tent, another tabernacle that will exist and last forever. We'll never decay. We'll not have any problems. Nothing will happen with it. And we have that written guarantee from the Holy Spirit concerning this heavenly body we will receive because, you see, we walk by faith and not by sight. The New Testament ends, as we have it, in Revelation 22, verse 21, this way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Could it have ended any other way? Is there any other thing that we need more? Is there any other thing that we would ever need more than this? Absolutely not. We need it every day in our life. As a matter of fact, without it, we wouldn't exist. We wouldn't continue to exist. And we wouldn't be eternally saved when this life is over. Our faith should be strong enough to take us to heaven. Our faith should be in Him. Our trust should be in Him, not in ourselves. I can never approach God and say, I deserve this. You just have to take me in, because it's not going to be that way. You see, though, our faith should be strong enough to say, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and now, today, I'm going to do what it takes to get forgiveness of them. And I'm going to live my best for Him every day of my life. You know, this is what we need. Strong enough. It'll save us in the end by extending His grace once more and take us home to be with Him forever. Blessed are the dead who die from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. There are some things we need to do to accept His grace. If I died today, or Christ came back today, would I be able to receive the eternal vacation, the eternal rest, and would my works be found favorable to God? Do I have that confidence? Do you? We're going to stand and sing a song. If there's any way we can assist you, we would be happy to do so. Would you please stand?